From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're delighted that you've decided to join us today. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch, inviting you to stay with us for a message from the Word of God, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ with another portion of a message called Christ, the Great Heart Specialist. In spite of their differences, the various rabbinical schools of the time agreed on their self-developed traditions, and they were enraged at Christ for disregarding them. As one who could read their hearts, Christ condemned their hypocrisy in the application of their traditions. First, Dr. Cairns addresses today's hot topic in keeping with the observance of Reformation Month as he speaks of idolatry in the church.
One of the burning issues of Reformation times was what to do about the vast number of images and relics that the Church of Rome had accumulated over the years. Those images were heathen in origin and practice. Images were supposed to be a help to worshippers, but they became objects of worship, idols. The Church commanded that the faithful should venerate them and accord to them the reverence that properly belonged to the things or people that they symbolized, supposedly. In addition, certain relics were supposed to carry in them a special blessing because of their claimed connection with Christ or with some real or imaginary saint. Of course, Rome had invented subtle distinctions to denote different kinds of worship. Latria is the worship of God. Dulia is the worship accorded to the saints. Hyperdulia is higher than Dulia, but less than Latria, and is accorded to the Virgin Mary. But these are distinctions without differences, as a glance at the prayers Rome offers to the Virgin will make clear. In Reformation times, there was absolutely no way in which the common worshipper could distinguish one kind of worship from another. When the people bowed to images, they worshipped them. It was rank idolatry. When people accepted the Reformation and its message, they generally recognized that those images had no right at all to be in a place of Christian worship. They thus denounced image worship as idolatry. And for many of them, that raised the question of what to do with the idols in their churches. Some who feared too much change too quickly favored leaving the images at least for the present. Others believed that they should not compromise with idolatry and set about forcibly removing the images. On occasion, that led to a violent campaign of iconoclasm, which was not helpful to the cause of Christ. The wrath of man, especially when it leads to lawlessness, does not promote the praise of God. But the images had to be dealt with, and they still do. The Word of God is absolutely clear. There are to be no images of man's making in the worship of God. Especially, there are to be no representations of God. The second commandment leaves no room for any exception to this divine rule. Yet Rome filled churches with images of Christ. God limits worship to himself. And yet Rome piled up images of various saints and an endless supply of bogus relics which the people were to worship. So the Reformation had to address the subject of images and idolatry masquerading as Christianity. The result was that in the Reformed churches at least, and those who were of the Anabaptist persuasion followed suit, the form of worship that they adopted was simple and scriptural and free from images and relics. Today, Rome still maintains her pre-Reformation addiction to the idolatry of image worship. The tragedy is that many Protestants have lapsed into their own form of idolatry. Now, here's a question. The Bible commands us to make no likeness of God. We believe that Jesus Christ is God. So, why do many professing Bible-believing Christians have such things as cribs with the baby Jesus in them, or holy pictures depicting him in his life, death, or ascension? Why did so many Christians promote Mel Gibson's film of Christ, which he intended, by the way, as an extended commentary on the Romish Mass, in which an ungodly actor portrayed the Son of God, when the law of God commands us to make no kind of likeness of God? I think it's time we get back to having a bit of the backbone of our reforming forefathers. Their iconoclasm may have been counterproductive, but at least it was a stand against idolatry, a stand we sorely need to have reintroduced in today's Protestant churches.
If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb, the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
These schools agreed on very little, but they did agree on these rituals of washing. And that's why the Pharisees could come and call this the tradition of the elders. But as they developed that system, they sank not only into the frivolous, but into the blasphemous. Because along with this part of the system, there went a whole list of other things that depicted God in the most crass, ignorant, carnal, and unbiblical, unspiritual manner. For example, these traditionalists described God as sitting down day by day to study the law with the chiefest of the rabbis, and paying particular attention to the study of the Mishnah, which is the compilation of the oral laws that the Jews had developed. They went further and they described God spending the last 3 hours of every evening playing with Leviathan. They claimed that after the fall of Jerusalem, God no longer laughed, but he wept great tears. And by the way, it was the dropping of a tear that would cause an earthquake. Getting down to the matter of purification, they even went so far as to teach that God himself had to submit to being purified by Aaron, because he had defiled himself by coming down to Egypt. And God himself had to be purified in a great bath of fire, because again he defiled himself when he buried the body of Moses. So all this traditionalism, especially the purification rites, were not merely childish frivolity. They were not unimportant things. And I think what I have said may explain why the Lord Jesus Christ used this occasion when they complained about what to others may have appeared a small thing, about his disciples ignoring the tradition of the elders. Explain why he responded to it as he did. Certainly, if these theological hitmen, if they expected the Lord Jesus Christ to cringe, and hitmen usually do, they were sadly disappointed. And if they expected that he would take the easy way out by simply telling the disciples to wash again, they were disappointed. Because rather than those approaches, what he did was to launch upon them a devastating attack that brought their tradition and their hypocrisy to the light of the Word of God. We have read that he said, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" And he chooses this example. He says, "We all know that the law says, honor thy father and thy mother." Now, every Jew understood, and we should understand, that that includes the physical and financial support of your parents in need. It's not just saying, "I honor you." That's part of it. But there is the physical and financial support of parents by their children as it is needed. And as old age comes on, that becomes more and more necessary. Now, there's a big subject. And I'd better not get into that rabbit trail, otherwise we'll never get back to the text. For if anything flies in the face of the self-centered, pleasure-crazed philosophy of the day in which we live, when old people are expendable and nursing homes are the first, and by the way, I am not going overboard here. I thank God that there are such places when necessary, but when nursing homes are the first alternative for people who can't be bothered with their parents, if anything flies in the face of that philosophy, it's what Jesus Christ is teaching here. But anyway, he says, you're supposed to give them your money. But what do you do? Now watch it carefully. They developed a tradition that if they took that money and gave it as a gift to the temple, then they were free from their responsibility to their parents. They had given the money, after all. Well, the parents hadn't benefited by it. But the same dirty, hypocritical old rascals held on to the money that they would have had to give to the temple had they given their parents what they ought to have given. You talk about hypocrisy. And this was the bunch of liars, hypocrites, thieves that had the audacity to condemn the Son of God because his disciples failed to observe a ritual washing. Christ's conclusion was pungent. He said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah say or prophesy of you." Now, another rabbit trail. Here you can learn how to use the Bible. Was Isaiah speaking particularly of those Pharisees? Well, he was, but he wasn't speaking solely of them. But what Isaiah said was so apt for them. Jesus said, God had you in mind when he said it. When we come to the Bible, we do well to read it very often like that. Remember Willie Mullen, Northern Irish Baptist preacher I often refer to, saying that when he was a young preacher, he used to go in to visit an old man. He wasn't a very learned old man, except in the scriptures of truth, and he knew them, and he knew how to pray. And when Mullen went in unexpectedly, He heard him at his Bible reading and at prayer. And he would go down this portion of the Word, and he would take everything he could and apply it directly to his own heart and to his own conscience, so that what Christ was saying to others, what Paul was saying to the Corinthians, or what Peter was saying to the people in his day, this old man would bow before God and take it directly to himself. I want to tell you, that's a pretty good way to read the Bible. Jesus said, he prophesied of you, and if the boot fits, wear it. When the Bible is describing something and that description fits you, then go on and realize there's a message here for you. He says of you, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And he continued this expose as he called the people to him, and says, hear and understand. And he gives them a brief sermon concerning cleanness and defilement. What defiles is not what you eat. By the way, notice the importance of that, because that anticipates Acts chapter 15 and the teaching of the apostles. It's not the apostles who first declared all meats clean. It is Christ. It says what you eat doesn't cause moral defilement, but what comes out of your mouth, because it comes out from your heart, that is what causes defilement. You know, this was radical stuff. Even the disciples had a hard time accepting it, and so he had to go on and explain it. And he brings it all to a tremendous conclusion when he says, look, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Mark 7 adds a few more. These are the things that defile a man. Now, this ending, when he says, out of the heart, I want you to notice he has got now beyond the Pharisees. Oh, he has spoken to them, you hypocrites. But now he's got beyond the Pharisees, and he's talking about hearts in general, so that this lifts the message beyond them and doesn't stop until it's carried searchingly to your heart and to mine. Now, it's the subject of the heart that Christ is dealing with. The heart. Very few people really want to deal with the heart. Religion generally doesn't want to get involved with the heart. This is why we're hearing constantly the misquotation and misapplication of Matthew 7 when Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. And almost every week you'll read some clown writing to the newspaper saying, the Bible says we're not to judge. Don't tell me sodomites are living wrong. Don't tell me adultery's living wrong living. We're not to judge. A greater perversion of the Bible would be hard to envisage. Why is this? It's because people generally, and that means you and I by nature, are happy for that which strokes the surface. But the Lord Jesus deals with the heart. And he's speaking as the great heart specialist. And today what I want us to do is to come in to the surgery, into the office of the great heart specialist, and hear what he has to say to us. Now, when you read these words of Christ, you discover he's teaching a very straightforward but a very major doctrine. knowing the hearts of saints and sinners, the Lord Jesus shows in the most radical terms that true religion is not concerned with empty ritual, but it deals with the natural corruption of the heart, and it leads man to a genuine heart relationship with God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.